You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Up next, I interview the National Secretary of the Public Service Association, Glenn Barclay, on the Public Service Association's warning against the growing push from business leaders to privatise our COVID-19 border quarantine facilities. PSA members work in the government agencies spearheading New Zealand's efforts to keep COVID-19 at bay, and the union is very concerned at the idea of private sector entrepreneurs undermining collective achievements as a nation so far to prevent further outbreaks of the virus. Let's get into that interview now.
Glenn Barclay, National Secretary, PSA.
So in practice, what would the difference between government-run quarantine versus privately-run isolation look like?
I think the main difference would be the oversight and control and the funding, of course. So there is a lot of private sector involvement at the moment in terms of the hotels and the staff within the hotels, but they are all operating under the control of the government. The government is in the process of setting up a quarantine service, so they will be better able over time to fulfil their important public role of ensuring public safety in quarantine.
The head of Juicy Rentals is one of the business leaders pushing for the government to set up a private pay-as-you-go isolation hotel. Do you know what the pay-as-you-go models would look like, and how does it differ from what's happening now?
Well, I only know what I've heard on the media, so I can't say for certain. It does sound like, some of the speculation, some of the things I heard were that it would be for high-end individuals who had a lot of money, who could come in and pay for their accommodation. I'm aware that there other people were saying that maybe it should be something that's more widely available rather than just for the rich listeners, but. I don't know the details.
So your union is deeply concerned at the idea of private sector entrepreneurs undermining our collective achievements. What grounds are these concerns based on? How could entrepreneurs undermine the achievement of 3 months since an unidentifiable case?
Well, look, I think that we'd rather that an agency that has at its heart public safety and public good was responsible for preserving our health and safety by maintaining the borders. I think that that's the appropriate way to do it. Anything else, I think, would compromise standards and accountability. I think that those are the two really important aspects to it. A public agency that's not concerned with profit is much more, that has no other incentives other than keeping the public safe. And I don't think this is something that the state should contract out of. It's a bit like prisons. The state did experiment with privatising our prisons, and it wasn't a successful experiment. So we would, on the same kind of grounds, we don't think that this sort of service should be delivered privately.
Just on that privatisation of prison management, what were some of the results of that made it a failure, and how would this relate to the privatisation of quarantine facilities?
In the case of prisons, it was contracted out to Mount Eden as a remand prison, was contracted out to management, contracted out to Serco. They made savings by reducing staffing, and as a consequence there were a number of fights and outbreaks of concern that led corrections to terminate the contract with them. Serco is still in the country because they've got a public-private partnership that they agreed with the last government to build a prison here, so they're still operating that because we're all bound into that contract. It's not one that we can easily break. But in terms of the remand prison, that's what the experience was. So it's, it's about if there's a profit motive, if the people running the service are reliant on being paid and want to cut corners to save money, then we could find ourselves in a similar situation. I mean, one of the things we're really concerned about, even at the moment, is that the government is using a lot of private security people in in the quarantine arrangements. And we're worried about this because if you look at Melbourne, you know, the use of private sector companies where the level of training and experience of the workers there is not so great, where the expectations is not so great, can lead to a breakout. And that's what happened. We would rather that there was a public service security arm that had that responsibility and could deliver on that. Aviation security staff, our members, have done a great job across the country when they've been redeployed into managed isolation and quarantine, but they're now drifting back into the airports as work begins on kind of changing the airport configuration. But we think that that kind of model of a state's or public service security arm would be the appropriate way of ensuring security at these facilities.
On the topic of staffing, there was an article published by the Herald last week, and the headline was about security staff at isolation facilities, quote, sleeping on the job. Do you think that such an observation is misplaced?
I'm not familiar with the details of the article, so I can't really comment on it. And as I say, there's a mix of security people in facilities at the moment, so I couldn't say who that they're referring to. We've got aviation security staff in there who were redeployed following the airports closing down. And we've also now got an increasing number of private security staff in there. In addition, there's some police and military people attached as well. The only group that's got the power of arrest, by the way, is the police. But I can't comment on the details of that because I don't know.
How likely is it, do you think, that this government would side with calls being made by business leaders to privatise the isolation facilities?
Look, we've been quite encouraged by Minister Wood's comments since that, where she said that there was no plans for doing anything like that. So I don't anticipate in the near future that that will happen. I certainly hope that they would stick to that view in the longer term as well.
What countries are currently using the privatised isolation?
All I know is that in places like Australia, there's been significant use of private security firms. My understanding is that in Australia, the control still remains with the state, and that's the appropriate way it should be. I'm kind of curious to know where these people would go, because the state, the government has done a really good assessment of what facilities, hotels around the country are suitable for managed isolation and quarantine, and they've pretty much utilised them all. So I don't know quite where a privatised service would go unless they were seeking the state to reduce, you know, their involvement in some way.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.